Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hi, this is Henry Gilroy, co-executive producer of Star Wars Rebels. You're listening to Aggressive Negotiations.
Welcome, everybody, to Aggressive Negotiations. I am just one of your hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and with me, as he is always, the phenomenally bald Jedi Master, John Mills. Man, you work it so well, my friend.
Thank you. I went to the Mace Windu hairstyling school. It was my final class to pass Padawan Academy, and I was master of the Vapod form of head shaving. It was top of my class.
I was about to say, I noticed this, the stylization just around the sides. It's fantastic work. You really have just mastered the art. I think that even Mace himself might be a little jealous.
Yeah. After the skin grafts on my final exam, I got over that pretty quick, and I do pretty well now.
Oh, man. Well, we're so excited to be here tonight. Just a couple of things. You can find us all over the place. Aggressive Negotiations is wherever you get your podcasts. Right now, though, we'd encourage you to head over to Apple Podcasts and hit us up with a star rating and a review, because we would love to give away a copy of Star Wars Phasma to you. And this is for new reviewers, and so we've done a couple contests for people who have already reviewed us before. So this is for all the people who haven't reviewed us, and we'd love to get some more. We've already got one in, and well, right now we only have one, so right now they're the winner. Make sure that you're the winner by reviewing us over on iTunes. We do need the star reading and the written review so we can call your name out on November 1st when the contest ends. It just helps more people find the show. There's a lot of Star Wars podcasts out there. We love what we do because we love interacting with you. And we just love more people to be able to find the show. And one of the best ways to have that happen is those star ratings and reviews. If you're not an Apple user, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. We've got Twitter. You can interact with us at the Jedi Masters. We love talking to you about Star Wars things. We love running polls so you can tell us what you think about things. Some of the great conversations we've had around those have been fantastic. You can find the entire network and at Join Nerd Party. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty. And we've also got the website at thenerdparty.com where you can check out all of the shows that we have. We have so many great shows here that you should be checking out and should be listening to. So make sure you do that. And last but not least, if you want to send us an email about something you've been thinking about Star Wars or our show, just click contact on the website at thenerdparty.com and choose Aggressive Negotiations, and that will come to John and I, and we can interact with you that way. Last week, we had a really important question, and we asked people, hashtag where's Lando?
Yes, and we're still looking for him.
Still looking for him, but I put the poll out there about some ideas of where Lando might be after Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. And obviously, you only get to choose four different things on Twitter. Sorry, folks. We don't make this up. Twitter does. So came up with like four different ideas of where he might be, and 58% of people voted that he was running a casino. Do you think that's likely?
I can see him running a casino. I can see him doing something like that, because as much as you and I agreed on the idea that Lando would have in some way been changed and gotten involved in refugee efforts and those sorts of things, Lando could also very easily fall into the category of somebody who has this big heroic life-changing experience and gains an appreciation for mortality and says, I've always wanted to do this. I don't want to be a barren administrator of Cloud City. I don't want to be anybody with too much pressure. I just want to run a casino, man. Every so often, I'll sit down in a card game.
You truly belong with us here among the credits.
Yes. You know, I've got so many advertisements now in my brain because now I'm going in and picturing Vegas as if run by Lando.
There you go. Well, 21% still think that he'd be on Cloud City, which, you know, I could see that happening too. Just being a person who was happy with a liberated Cloud City and doing what he was doing before. So,
well, I mean, they're not mutually exclusive either, if you really think about
true.
It.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
He, you know, the casino could be something, you know, he changes Cloud City from just Tabana Gas mining into a business concern that had, you know, he turns it into a tourist destination.
Yeah. I was about to say, you know, make it a vacation spot, you know, build another part of Cloud City on that's like a casino. So
that would be so awesome.
Yeah. That would be totally so cool. See that happen. Or, you know, running the casino, he could be running the casino at Canto Bight.
Yeah, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
That would be kind of cool. I'd be okay with it, honestly.
You know, I mean, it definitely keeps the rule of keeping everything in universe there. But having not seen Canto Bight yet, I withhold my support of that idea until I know that I love Canto Bight. Or don't.
There you go.
Who knows?
Well, 16% of people said that he would be helping refugees, which was my idea. So thank you for whoever voted on that other than me. Really appreciate it.
I mean, it's not a bad idea. I mean, the thing is, you know, he could easily go the other way. Either he's trying to, you know, reclaim his life or do his, you know, carry out his dreams after getting an appreciation for how close he came to death. Or he's become a changed man and gone on the redemptive arc, and he has decided to dedicate his life to positive things.
Last but not least, 5% of voters said that he's a card shark now.
Believable, but I don't know.
It seems a little lame, like that's all he does.
It seems like it wouldn't be grandiose enough for Lando.
That's true.
Somebody who wears a cape the way he does. Mm-hmm. You're playing at a different level. You take the cape off, Lando's a card shark. You put the cape on, he runs a casino.
That's right.
There's
a key
difference right there.
He doesn't have to shark anybody. He's actually running the casino. So
I could still see him cheating at a game every so often. Well, not cheating. I wouldn't say that he's cheating. I would say that he's just one of those expert players, like World Series of Poker, Intergalactic Series
like
of Sabacc.
You know, Sabacc card counter.
Oh, I could see. But although they have the sifter card that changes things and stuff like that, that would be
maybe like he has the little thing like under his jacket that like blocks the sifter counter. I don't know. Anyway, we're getting way too deep into this. But
that is really, you know, that is really deep dive, honestly, for anybody who doesn't know. And the thing is, I believe that it was in the old West End games that they first really explored the idea of Sabacc back in the late 80s. And what it was Sabacc's cards could change, and they would continually change on a randomized cycle. So you could be holding your cards, you'd have a certain hand, then it would change. And the only thing that would keep the cards from changing, or was supposed to keep the cards from changing, is you would throw the cards into like a little interdictor field in the center of the table when you called, when you held, you know, certain cards and you didn't want them to change anymore. But there were devices that you could carry that would cause the cards to stay once you liked them and stuff like that. But then everything got a little bit like Robert De Niro in the back of the casino in the movie by the same name and those sorts of things.
Well, and you know, you actually could play Sabacc as well in the Knights of the Old Republic game. So they had created rules for it and everything. So yeah, you could check that out.
You're actually causing a flashback for me because they had a way to play Sabacc. I always called it Sabacc, but I guess it's Sabacc. But anyway, in the West End Games version, they explained it in such detail. And I think there was actually a supplement where you could get cards so you could pretend to play it. I mean, like, that's how in depth they get. Wow, I got to go on Amazon or eBay or something and get those old books, man. I'm starting to feel a call of that.
So I got a question for you, and this is kind of what we're going to revolve the episode around. But I was thinking just the other day, I was actually running, I was listening to another podcast, and I just started like tuning out the podcast, not because it's not good, but I started thinking about the idea of Ezra and what his journey is, and thinking about the Last Jedi trailer and some of the things that we see there and some of the things that we saw in the new Rebels trailer for season 4 that's about to come out. And all of these things started mixing in my brain. And I have a question for you. Do you think that in some ways maybe Ezra is not a like substitute for like a proto Luke, that he's actually the proto Rey? and where they're kind of going to lead that character fully. Like, Ezra won't fully go on the journey that Rey is going to go on, but he's like the proto version of her.
I think the idea has merit. I hadn't considered it until you brought it up. And as I'm thinking about it, it definitely has merit. One of the first things that I hooked on to is the fact that Ezra winds up almost by seeming accident to wind up with somebody who has left the Jedi Order, who doesn't want to train somebody, who wants to leave that part of their life behind them. And based on what we've seen from the Last Jedi trailer and the fact that Luke ran off to Octo. Yes, Octo. Is that what we're calling it? Or is it? Yes. Achoo. He ran off to Achoo. But based on that, we are seeing with Rey, she has essentially stumbled into her destiny, as it were, and is seeking a Jedi who has left the Order and discarded the ways. So I see an immediate similarity there. And in terms of how they end up, I agree with you, they're going to end up in different spots. But I think there's a very compelling argument to say that there is a parallel there. And knowing what we know about the cyclical nature of the Star Wars films, I think it would be very interesting, more interesting, if anything, to find out that Ezra was a proto-Rey as opposed to a proto-Luke.
So remember early on in Rebels, we have Ezra, and he's on the search for his kyber crystal, and he ends up running into Yoda in this kind of like force-like state. And Ezra is talking about why he wants to be a Jedi and how he feels like, you know, he has to protect those he loves. He can't let harm come to them. And Yoda says something to him along the effect of, you know, it's not just why we fight, it's how we fight. It's what we do. It's how we react to the situations, basically. And all throughout Rebels, we've been seeing this whole idea of kind of maybe there being a way that the Jedi hadn't completely seen. Like, it had gotten lost. And that's one of the reasons that they did lose. And I'm wondering if, you know, kind of building through how things go with Luke and everything, if we're kind of building towards that idea that there is a sense of the Jedi lost what they were supposed to be from way back in the beginning, or we're going to kind of find that new way to do things that gets back to the heart of what the Jedi are supposed to be.
I think that there's actually, you know, as you're saying that, and, you know, as you say, finding the new way, I think what's really interesting here is that the parallel between Ezra and Rey could very much tease out even an even more important parallel between Ahsoka and Luke. That Ahsoka has left the Order, she's forged her own path. And granted, we have very little to work on with The Last Jedi so far. They've given us nothing about Luke's right. real motivations for anything. I mean, you know, we have hints and glimmers of things that we can suppose about, but it really does seem like he himself has gone off and said there needs to be a different path. So I think that if that winds up being the case, you have Ezra touching Ahsoka's life, and you have Rey touching Luke's life. And so that actually leads me to the fact that Luke and Ahsoka are both seemingly, I mean, we know Ahsoka is, but Luke is also seeking a new way that isn't constrained by the Jedi themselves, which I think is even more interesting in and of itself, because it almost lends that shade of credibility to what Palpatine is saying in episode 3 about, you know, don't be a slave to the Jedi Order and their narrow dogmatic interpretation of things. I mean, it, you know, the devil always tells a lie with a grain of truth in it. Maybe Ahsoka and Luke are the indication of that, and Ezra and Rey are the ones that carry us to that moment.
I like you touching on that idea of what Palpatine says, that there might be a grain of truth in that, in the sense that, you know, when I think in like religious terms and religious texts, the Talmud is the expansion on the law, but it's not the law itself. It's everything that the Pharisees added to the law and their understanding of it and trying to work it out. But it did add a lot of things to it that weren't necessarily part of the law given to Moses in, you know, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Jewish Bible.
Sure. I mean, you also see it in the Hadiths with the Muslim faith. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. There's the Quran and then there are the Hadiths. And it's, you know, there's very much an argument for do these actually support what this is saying, or do they at times subvert what it's saying by seeming to be related mm-hmm. to it? Sure.
And it makes me wonder if that's the thing that will kind of where, you know, Ray is in this position with Luke, and Luke is trying to, obviously going to have to find a new way. Something's going to have to change because something didn't go right. We do know that. But in the same way, too, I feel like that Kanan and Ezra have been kind of working their way towards something different, something new. And it definitely seems from the episode four, the season four trailer, that they're definitely seeing that there's something that needs to change, maybe even the way that they're acting as characters in the story. That maybe something needs to change there in their interactions with the Bendu. And all of this, I think it just all seems to be building towards something. And I think that's really fascinating to kind of like see two different stories in two different eras, but that they're kind of like all working toward, at least it seems to be working towards the same arc.
Well, they should be. You know, I know that that seems like an oversimplification, and I'm not at all being dismissive, but as you're saying it, yeah, they should be. That's the whole core of Star Wars is the, you know, the tone poem, the thing that repeats itself over time. It's a very Nordic thing as well. You know, the saga of the Volsungs and stuff like that coming in. Ezra and Rey should in some way be echoes of each other. I think that there's an automatic presumption that it's only Luke and Rey that will be echoes of each other. But Ezra should be an echo, and Rey should be an echo, and even Ahsoka's arc should be an echo. There should all be all of these echoes, and of course, we can't forget Anakin.
Yeah,
everybody absolutely. Goes through the same. It's almost like a science experiment with faith, where everybody goes through the same cycle, and it's their choices that determine the outcome, and that's sort of the free will and destiny working together. You know, the Emperor continually saying it is your destiny. Obi-Wan continually saying it is your destiny. Everybody says it is your destiny. Well, sure, it's your destiny to face Vader. It's your destiny to take the saber to Luke. But your choices along the way determine how that will happen. Anakin brings balance. He chooses the most painful possible way to do it because that's what he does. But it still gets there. It could have gone 100 different ways. And it's what's really interesting about it is the biggest reason that they should be echoes of each other is because of the fact that it's the same problems. It's the whole idea of nothing new under the sun. Every generation likes to think that the problems that they're facing are unique. And in many ways they are, because of the circumstances. You know, they didn't have nuclear weapons 500 years ago, or they didn't have, indoor plumbing 100 years ago. But on a baseline, we're all working out the same philosophical journey and just working it out in different iterations with each generation.
Yeah, I mean, I was even thinking of the way that, you know, Ezra has to deal with the dark side pull that he feels in season three, specifically, of course, with Maul and everything, with that influence that started in season two. And, you know, I feel like that there's got to be some kind of pull for that for Rey as well, you know, and I feel like you could even maybe see a part of that in The Force Awakens, that, you know, she's quite aggressive in that fight with Kylo Ren.
Well, yeah, no. I'm glad you point that out, because I think that a lot of people look past that, that she's ready to kill him when that chasm forms.
Mm-hmm.
She's ready to finish it right there.
Well, and I think that there's a moment, obviously, there is a moment that she calls the Force to her when, you know, Kylo Ren reminds her of the Force. And there's that beautiful moment where she kind of meditates for a moment, it seems like, and then she just unleashes kind of the hounds on Kylo Ren. But it does almost seem like that for the music swell, there could also be a tinge of using maybe more of the dark side than the light in that moment. Because she is quite aggressive towards him. And like you said, is ready to kill him. And that aggression and that, as Yoda says, it's quicker and easier path. It's more seductive. And so I'm wondering if, like Ezra, having to learn how to say no to that power that it's offering you will be something that we see her have to go through in, you know, the Last Jedi with her training with Luke, and how Luke may be kind of worried if he can sense that in her at all.
You know, I think that's a great point. And what's interesting to me is, while you're talking about that, something that I think is very unique and very intriguing is that we saw the original trilogy and we knew that the hero prevailed. Then when we watched the prequel trilogy, we knew that the hero failed. Ezra seems to have succeeded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is the echo then going to be that Rey is going to more resemble Anakin's choices?
Ooh, that's interesting.
That would be, see, and what's really interesting to me, and I think this speaks to the fact that Daisy Ridley brought such an innocent energy to everything. Ezra seemed tailor-made to go through a Luke-style journey from the beginning.
Tailor-made. Taylor Gray. Anyway.
But Rey, the fan base, in my experience, I mean, you know, everything's anecdotal. It's not like I, you know, went around and polled thousands of fans or anything, but anecdotally speaking, nobody seems to be giving Rey a shot at a dark journey here. And that's where I think that this sequel trilogy could really amaze and surprise people, is if they have the courage to do that. Now, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to be bad if they don't or anything like that, but wouldn't it be so interesting if Luke and Anakin are echoes of each other? They made different choices. Ezra and Rey are echoes of each other. We've seen Ezra come through the fire pretty much. If we see Rey not, then we have, again, something very much in support of this whole cyclical echo going through, and even in a sense, bookends, because you have Anakin, Ezra, and Luke come through the fire, and then on the other end you have Rey not. I think that could be very interesting. But then at the same time you have that parallel of Kylo Ren and Luke, although, like, Kylo Ren becomes the redemptive arc of Vader, the original trilogy redemptive arc in that case, doesn't he? Or do they both, you know? Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's all speculation at this point, but I just think it would be very interesting if Ezra and Rey wind up being that dark echo of each other.
Well, and the thing about Rey and Ezra that they have another connection is just the family thing. You know, Ezra has his family and everything that he had kind of taken away from him very early. And Rey has that same thing. You know, we see her dropped off in that Force vision. She's old enough to remember what happened, the pain of being left on Jakku. And so, you know, that scarring, that emotional scarring that comes from having familiar relationships ripped away from you. We don't know exactly how that happened for Rey, but it did in some way. And it's interesting because Ezra has that same thing too. And that's part of that drive, you know, and I think, for Ezra being connected with Kanan, Kanan becomes like his father. Hera very much becomes like his mother. You know, Sabine becomes like his sister. Zeb is his big brother. You know, Chopper is like the annoying cat that they have. And
Chopper rules. And, don't ever speak ill of Chopper.
And in a lot of ways, too, I feel like Rey kind of has that as well. You know, she's being drawn to Luke Skywalker as an answer for a mentor father figure. Leia seems to slowly, you know, by the end, they give each other a hug. She says, may the Force be with you. There's a connection there. Han was a father figure before he died. You know, Finn becomes kind of, I think, more brotherish towards her. In a lot of ways, you know, like creating this family where there wasn't one. And that happened in the original trilogy, too. It happened, you know, it strangely happens in the prequel trilogy, this kind of idea of like finding family and looking for family when you don't really have it or it's taken away from you. And all of that's just so interesting. But it's so funny to kind of see that playing out with Ezra in his last season here. And you know, Dave has been very specific, and Henry Gilroy was very specific at Dragon Con. Rebels is Ezra's story. And they specifically did not want his story to mirror something like Anakin, because that's already been done before. So to me, that kind of leads me to think that maybe they're subtly using him to mirror what's going to happen with Rey and allow her to fully make that journey towards the new Jedi. Not like, you know, Luke says the Jedi must end, but maybe it's they need to end as the way we knew them. It's time for not just the Jedi, but the new Jedi Order.
You know, I have a question to ask of you. So, you know, and it's a little bit off topic, but it's just something that's sitting in my brain now because of the discussion we've been having.
Oh, I've got a bad feeling about this.
No, you shouldn't. I have come to like Ezra as a character heck of a lot.
Yeah.
Should he be in Luke's Academy when they finally start plumbing the depths of that between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens? Do you have any expectation to run into Ezra again?
That's a good question. Because I'm in the firm belief that him and Kanan don't have to die. I feel like they've been kind of planting the seeds that Kanan might die, for sure. But I don't think Ezra has to die. And I think there's different ways that you could take that. And that would be fascinating to me that somehow Ezra made it to that point. And found his way to, you know, Luke's Kindle. That would be fascinating to me. And I don't have any, like, that's not something I have a problem with at all, like him surviving and all that. You know, I feel like there are other Jedi that survived. The last of the Jedi, will you be, pass on what you have learned? You know, I think Yoda is specifically speaking of the last of the Jedi, basically trained by me, the last of the Jedi that, of what I knew, you know.
I think that the wiggle room is that you're the last who can fully say I've passed all of my, you know, I am in fact, what you would call a Jedi. There's that wiggle room, like they, you know, that they even played with the games with General Coda and stuff like that. I was a Jedi, but I'm not a Jedi now.
Right.
Obi-Wan even says, I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that wiggle room line. Now the Jedi are all but extinct.
Yep.
Which left the room for Yoda to come in and those sorts of things. I agree with you is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, and could Obi-Wan know about Ezra and Kanan? I mean, he knows about Ezra. He met him. So, in Rebels.
I want a story. I don't think we'll get it. But if it doesn't happen in this last season of Rebels, wouldn't it be great to see Ezra go to Obi-Wan for counsel?
That would be
let's take the theoretical that Kanan dies and Ezra says, I just can't do this anymore. I have to go off. I'll do what I can on my own. And he goes to Obi-Wan for counsel. And we get some sort of insight into Obi-Wan being there, like his thinking while he's on Tatooine, like what it's doing to him inside, that he's not actively helping the cause, as it were.
I think you have a fantastic story there, and it could be the way that the thing that saves Ezra, you know, in kind of the same way that Ahsoka walks away from the Jedi Order in time to basically save her from Order 66. Ezra maybe walks away at the right moment from the Galactic Civil War because of advice that he gets from Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think that would be phenomenal. It's so interesting. You know, people talk about what would you do with Obi-Wan Kenobi in a film, and I think there's so many different fantastic storylines that you can tell with that character that make him an active part of the storyline. You know, he's somebody who can commune deeply into the Force. He's spent years doing it. He's been in touch with Qui-Gon. He's obviously been in touch with Yoda. Is my guess, if Yoda can talk to Ezra, then he can talk to Obi-Wan. So he's not alone. And in fact, it's interesting because they make a trinity then, Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Yoda, which is interesting to me. I just thought about that. Communing together in harmony. And so, yeah, wow, wouldn't that be a good story?
Listen, if Vulcans can get away with it, and communicate across the galaxy, so can they.
There you go. So, I think you're absolutely right. And I'm really interested to see what other people have to think about this one because, it was something that literally just kind of came to me and I just wanted to talk to you about it and hopefully other people will find it interesting. But the idea that maybe there is more of a connection between Rebels and sequel time period that then we have maybe given them credit for, and it's been so subtle we've just kind of been slowly missing it, and it would become more apparent once we finally see The Last Jedi. At least I hope so, because Rebels has done a very good job of connecting the prequel trilogy with the original trilogy and the Clone Wars and kind of putting all that together. But I think it would be kind of cool if subtly it was also kind of gluing everything together with the sequel trilogy as well.
I think it would be wonderful. I think your idea has a great deal of merit, and I agree with you. I think people should reach out to us. Let us know. Matt ran down at the beginning of the show all the different ways that you can contact us, and we would really love it. We would love to get your thoughts. I really think you've tapped a vein here, and I think that it is something that could really, if it is the case, this is sort of one of those moments where I fall a little bit more in love with the sequel trilogy already, because if it has that echo, you know, I'm all on board with that.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. I mean, it obviously well documented my feelings so far about it, but I heartily agree with you because this is the way in which I feel like you keep the spirit of Lucas alive in that sense. So absolutely 100% agree. John, let everybody know, you know, where they can find you online, what you're doing, where they can contact you if they'd like to hit you up about this idea, anything else they've been thinking. And of course, you've got other great shows that people need to be listening to.
Oh, nobody wants to talk to me on the internet. I'm Kessel Junkie, if you're looking for me. But you can also find me right here on the network, co-hosting Great Shot Kid with Mike Schindler. Presently, inspired by one of Matt's shows you're about to hear about, we're going through a chapter-by-chapter analysis of Alan Dean Foster's Splinter of the Mind's Eye. It's delightful so far. And also with Mike Schindler, I am co-hosting over on the Trek FM network, Stage 9, where we look at the influences of the Star Trek creators and the different works that they've done. And I'm co-hosting Words with Nerds with my pal Craig, and that's just sort of floating free out there. If you reach Kessel Junkie online, you'll hear about plenty of it. And Matt, where can people find you online?
Well, you can find me on Twitter, MattRushing02, on Instagram under the same name. I'm here on the network, as you said, doing the show that inspired y'all's read of Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which is Owlpost, where we're talking all about Harry Potter, one chapter at a time. We're in the Prisoner of Azkaban right now, so it's a great time to jump on. Drea and I are having a blast doing it. You can find me on the Trek FM network. I have a couple shows there. One is about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. That's called The Orb. And then I have our general geek show called The 602 Club, which we don't limit ourselves to one fandom. We talk about as many as we possibly can. So if you love geek stuff, it's a great place to hang out. So I hope you'll check that out. And then last but not least, I am doing a show with my friend Courtney, and we're talking all about films through the lens of faith. And so if that's something that's interesting to you, check out Cinema Stories. You can find all of those shows wherever you get your podcast. But John, I think there is absolutely only one thing left to say. It is time to close negotiations.
Matt, negotiations are closed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.